Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A month after a stowaway was found on a Delta Airlines flight headed to France, a stowaway was caught on a Delta flight from Seattle to Hawaii. As it taxied for takeoff Christmas Eve, authorities say the individual passed through TSA screening but lacked a boarding pass. U.S. officials now suspect a Russian missile may have downed an Azerbaijan Airlines plane in Kazakhstan, killing 38. The crash occurring near a region active with Moscow's air defense efforts against Ukrainian drones. Russian media blaming the crash on a Ukrainian drone attack. A federal judge has ruled the woman accusing Jay-Z and Sean Diddy Combs of raping her at a party when she was 13 years old can remain anonymous.
The judge chastising the lawyers representing Jay-Z, accusing them of trying to fast-track the judicial process by repeatedly filing motions to reveal the identity of the Jane Doe to have the case dismissed.
ABC's Morgan Norwood. Tonight's Mega Millions jackpot reaching north of $1.1 billion. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. One person is dead and three others were taken to the hospital after a vehicle hit a horse-drawn buggy on Highway 82 near Hillsboro in Vernon County on Christmas night. The Vernon County Sheriff's Office said the crash happened when a vehicle crossed the center line and hit the horse and buggy head-on. One of the people in the buggy, 29-year-old Henry Bontrager, was pronounced dead at the scene. A 29-year-old woman in the buggy was taken to Gunderson Hospital in La Crosse. The driver of the vehicle, a 22-year-old woman from Sparta, and her passenger, a 20-year-old woman from Lafarge, were both taken to Gunderson Hospital in Hillsboro. The horse drawing the buggy also died in the crash. The sheriff's office said several people arrived at the scene before first responders could get there to offer help, as Gunderson Air was not able to fly due to the weather. The crash closed Highway 82 for nearly 6 hours on Christmas night. No other details were released, and according to online court records, no charges or citations have been filed. If you need to get rid of your Christmas tree, the city of La Crosse will be collecting them from January 6th through the 17th. Trees need to be clear of any lights, ornaments, and decorations, and need to be put out on the boulevard before 7 a.m. on January 6th. Tree pickup will not follow garbage collection routes. You can also drop trees off at Merrick Park in the green recycling dumpster between 7 a.m. and 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. The city says they will not collect any artificial trees. A man who was arrested and is accused of crashing a vehicle into a building in Viroqua on Sunday has been found safe. According to the Viroqua Police Department, a vehicle had been driven into the front of Smoke World Vape on Viroqua's Make Street at 3 a.m. Sunday. The vehicle was caught on camera. The 49-year-old man driving the vehicle was arrested and recommended for charges of burglary and criminal damage to property. The man had been missing since Monday night. His vehicle was found in Minnesota yesterday, and the man was found safe today. The rain will stick around through tonight, giving way to cloudy skies this weekend, highs in the 40s.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and LacrosseEagle.com.
The Packers head to Minnesota. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens. The Packers face the Vikings at 3:25 Sunday in Minneapolis. I asked quarterback Jordan Love, besides getting a higher seed in the playoffs, how much does the rivalry motivate the Packers heading into this game?
I mean, all the motivation is right there. It's division opponent. Obviously, they beat us first game, so we're going into their place, and we want to get some of that revenge that we're looking for.
Matt Loeffler said that Jaire Alexander will likely not play again this week. NBA, the Bucks let one slip away at home last night to the Brooklyn Nets in the final 3 minutes, 111-105. Brook Lopez, who had 20 points, was held to just 2 in the second half.
They definitely changed our flow and got us away from what we do. You know, it's not about me getting shots or anything like that, but just us being aggressive, playing side to side, you know, and hitting whoever's open, getting guys open, available, getting their guys off them.
That's Bucks center Brook Lopez. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The warmer temperatures are bringing areas of dense fog and rain this afternoon. Becoming more widespread and a bit heavier overnight, it does wind down by early tomorrow morning. With around 3/4 of an inch of rain expected, the sunshine does try to peek out tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 42.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out. The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Earl Ingram.
Chuck from East Troy. Good morning to you, Chuck. You say what?
I have a bone to pick with you. Since my wife discovered Civic Media 2 years ago, we are addicted to Civic Media, and you are one of the ringleaders. So anyway, I just want to thank you. Have a good day.
Hey, Chuck, man, thank you very much for the call. Tell your wife I said thank you, and it's an honor and a privilege.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, the Law Review, will join me to discuss if the president-elect should be disqualified under the 14th Amendment's Insurrection Clause. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is the talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is the 27th of December, Friday, 2024, TGIF. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along here in hour number two, taking a look back at what makes Wisconsin great, the year in review. Pre-recorded this show for you a couple days ago before the holidays here got underway. Hopefully you're having great holidays. We'll be back with you with an all-new live show on Monday. Looking forward to that. But here in hour two, we go back to April of this year. Our friend Trygve Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, we went back to his alma mater, the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire. Of course, in Eau Claire, sat down with Chancellor Jim Schmidt and others to talk about our great university system. We're going to bring you that interview in its entirety. And also, Mr. Zommers, you have a board game of the week.
Yeah, Dungeons & Dragons was invented in Wisconsin, and so we talk about that at the end of the hour. Also, with the UW-Eau Claire, don't forget that we talked to the chancellor and brought up Trygve and Pat's transcripts from the university.
Yes, we certainly did. So enjoy this, our What Makes Wisconsin Great Year in Review show. Again, back with you with an all-new show on Monday. Enjoy. That came in, not necessarily maybe to see Trygve or I, but came in and we talked a little bit about life and about what makes Wisconsin great. So thank you to Braden and the entire staff to the Houghtons, right?
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah, pub and
we even made some new fans.
Yeah.
We did.
It was really great. So
the thing is, if people come out to Dooley's in Eau Claire, what they're going to find? Todd and I, we're a lot of fun to drink beer with and hang out with.
And just talk about what makes Wisconsin great. So thanks to all those at Houghton's last night, and in particular, Braden, our great bartender. We told him we'd give him a shout-out, and he's spreading the word about the show and about Civic Media around lacrosse. So we made our way through a snowstorm last night. Took us a while. Stayed at the beautiful Hampton Inn near campus here, and we are here on campus today, and that is our focus. What makes Wisconsin great? And I think for Trygve and I, and for so many people, it is our education system, our K-12, our public education system. We're going to have the Eau Claire Public School Superintendent Johnson with us a little bit later on in this show. But right now, we are honored to be joined by our host here on campus, none other than Chancellor Jim Schmidt. Chancellor, thank you so much for your fantastic hospitality, and thank you for letting us promote and be on your campus at UW-Eau Claire.
Well, we welcome all perspectives to our campus, and let's just point out, we didn't have a snowstorm here. Nothing stuck. So it's all those southern cities that had all that terrible winter weather.
That's right. And kind of right. I mean, Eau Claire has not had that bad of weather. I think we got more snow in Madison this year than you guys did up here.
No question. I think we only had 7 inches of snow, I think I heard, until this last weekend where we got pummeled with about 10.5 inches. But it's gone. Yeah. And not all of us shoveled as well as we should have, because it melted awfully quickly. Campus was prepared.
Well, I just want to say right up front, thank you. This is the alma mater for Trygve Olson.
Olson, and also joining us via StreamYard just up the road at Lake Wissota, because he has a couple of big interviews himself, our colleague from Civic Media on Up North News every morning 6 until 8, Pat Kreitlow. Pat, I think the campus may have changed a little bit since you and Trigvy hung around here, but the Chancellor is still getting it done, still a great place to get an education.
Chancellor Jim always gets it done. It's so nice to see him and thank him again for hosting us here. Yeah, there have been a few changes, but let me tell you, your show starts off with the song Freedom from Wham, 1984, right in the middle of my time there. It takes me back already. I've got those old boat shoes on. We're walking our way down to either Trader and Trapper or to Shenanigans. And that theme of yours just put me in the right frame of mind. I almost never miss an opportunity to get back down to the Eau Claire campus. There was just a little too much work for Up North News to be done today, but I will be happy to join you at Dooley's tonight at the site. Back in my day, it was the camaraderie before it burned down,
and
Dooley's
is
now taking its place, but Fifth and Water is going to be a great place to hang out tonight with you.
Well, great. We look so forward to it. We have a few people, a studio audience here at UW Eau Claire, too. We welcome all of the folks here hanging out here and joining us, fans of Civic Media. So we appreciate that. Chancellor, again, thank you in particular to Jake on your staff. From the moment we set, actually before we set foot on campus, and a shout out as well to, we're calling her our segment producer this week, Chris Andrews, who has been with us, Trigvy and I, through political times, spent time working for UW System. And between your staff and Chris, nothing but hospitable. It is a beautiful campus. We have iconic Schofield Hall right behind us. Trigvy mentioned this. When you step on the Eau Claire campus here, it feels like a university of higher learning. There's a vibe here.
There absolutely is. When you talk to students, you know, I always ask them, why did you pick Eau Claire? He said, I stepped on a campus and it just felt right. People are friendly. They're outgoing. We've created this kind of like beautiful little oasis right along the Chippewa Valley and the Putnam Bluff. Got the historic Third Ward neighborhood close by. You know, that sense of place helps people have that sense of belonging. Mm-hmm. One of the things I love is if you have a tough chemistry exam, not like I ever did, laugh. It's only about 50 steps into Putnam Park, and you can feel like you're in the middle of a wilderness, just a few steps into that protected parkland or walk down the river, and all of a sudden you get life back in balance.
Yeah. I know Pat Kreitlow's talked about it on his show. We've talked about it on ours as well. You know, we're going through times in the state where I feel that wrongly, but that's open for debate, but I would say wrongly, higher education, public education, is somewhat under attack by certain folks in this state. We're here to talk about the positives, the value, and why people should look at UW Eau Claire and the entire University of Wisconsin system, both from bettering individuals economically, but also it just makes you a better person. When you talk to people, when you talk to students, whether they're kids come out of high school, whether they're a returning adult that might want to come back and finish their education, what's your pitch to be a Blue Gold?
Well, let me tell you, I remember stepping foot back onto campus July 1, 2013, you know, parked my car in the visitor lot because it was my first day as chancellor, and I hadn't had my parking pass yet, and those are very important on a university campus. And I remember walking up to Schofield Hall about 7:30 in the morning, and I felt this great sense of weight because during that interview process, I had a chance to meet with faculty, staff, students, alumni, community members. One thing that came really true is this campus is something special. Everything you read about a university campus and the commitment their faculty and staff have to students, it's true in spades here. Mm-hmm. Our faculty and staff run through walls if it means giving those students the best possible opportunity. And the problem is it sounds like every place, but it isn't here. Take a look at what we call our high-impact experiences that we measure. More than 70% of our students have at least one internship before they're done. Almost half of our students do undergraduate research with a faculty member, usually outside of the curriculum. We are named number one for undergraduate research in the country among all master's level schools. In fact, we held the international conference here a year ago this past spring. And finally, we tend to rank among the top in the country for study abroad experiences. Mm-hmm. Number 12 among all master's level schools for those students who spend at least a semester abroad. You know, and that ends up making a real difference. The number of students that we have are ambassadors representing various countries, because some were international students here. When I was in Japan, we had a partnership visit there. Great situation, but we made a side trip to go to Tokyo because the Panamanian ambassador to Japan was a blue gold, an economics student. So we run them in all crosses of life. These things make a difference. And, you know, look no further than return on investment.
Right.
And our most recent placement survey, 99% placement rate.
Wow.
You know, there's a few people that aren't looking for a job, right?
Yeah.
So those are students who are in got a job or in graduate school. More than 70% of those had a job before they shook my hand at Zorin Arena as they crossed the stage. More impressive to me is the students this past year, 95%, and the year before is 97%, reported that the job they took was a part of their career goals.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole idea of our history students working at McDonald's is a bunch of junk.
Right.
That's the kind of stuff the culture wars raise up. You can come to Eau Claire and it's college costs more than I'd like it to be. But if you look at public universities across the country, we are a bargain. Tuition's about $8,000 for in-state students.
Yeah.
The average student does not graduate with hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. In fact, the average among all students is about $22,000. Do I wish it was none? Yes. But that $22,000 investment is going to pay off. Average starting salary of a student leaving UW-Eau Claire is about $55,000. And in today's dollars, if you've been out of school for 10 years, your average is over $100,000.
Yeah.
Now, I have to be careful when I talk about that on campus because we have a lot of professors who are saying, look, I got PhD and I've been working for 20 years and I'm nowhere near $100,000. And let me tell you, our faculty work darn hard and they're underpaid.
Right.
And so I try to give them all the love and support that I can, make sure we have facilities and the great students and create an atmosphere of learning, because the people who are here to make a difference. That's what gets us out of bed every morning.
About 2 minutes before I have to go to a one-minute break, and I'll the other side, I'm going to turn it over to Pat and Trigvy, the alums of Eau Claire. But before I do, I don't hold it against me, but I went to UW-Richland, the two-year school, then to Platteville. And I used to come up here as a communication, and, you know, Kenny Anderson, the basketball coach up here, kept beating us. He was the only guy that would beat Bo Ryan consistently back in the day.
Yes. Mike Johnson was the one who was beating you, but you'll get to take that up. You'll get to take that up with Mike when he's on in a little bit.
But, you know, I went to a two-year school, started out. I know that Rice Lake is Barron is a part of now this campus. Talk to him, because we had the international program at Richland, and to me, my growth as a person, Chancellor, was not only academic, it was an individual. Meeting people from all over the world, it changed my life. That has a value you cannot replicate.
100%. It, you know, I go to class. I want all of our students to go to class. But, you know, I tell people, and they say, is a college education worth it? And I'm like, yes, do all of it. I said, if you don't want to spend any money, you can sit in our library, which is open to the public, and read for 4 years, and you're going to learn a lot. But the education process happens not only in the classroom, but it's on the bench. It's talking to other students, sharing perspectives. You know, it's why I tell students to take their nose out of the phone, interact with each other. We're all hungry for that, and that's the difference. We have a large international population here. Our Barron County campus has a large international population is there. I'm proud that the Barron County campus is running in the black financially. There's actually more enrollment there than when we took the campus over, which
Congrats.
Is unusual.
Congrats.
And that campus and that community fully support it, and they're doing innovative things to make sure we can keep that important access point, not just in terms of two-year college, smaller class sizes. Faculty are really focused on helping students achieve wherever they need to be for their next step. But geographically, that campus is terribly important to the state, and the state's better off because it's there. That is the heart of the Wisconsin idea.
Ever thought I'd think about running for governor, Chancellor?
I totally agree.
Trigvy and I talk about this all the time. We need cheerleaders for this state.
100%.
Not left, not right. Cheerleaders for Wisconsin. And this, the message, what you're preaching, I mean, I'm in the choir saying amen. We'll come back to the other side. I'm going to have Trigvy Olson and also Pat Kreitlow, alums of the Blue Golds. The chancellor has brought up their transcript. We'll go over that in detail when we come back.
Please do not do that.
It's the Todd Allball Show on location at UW-Eau Claire on the Civic Media. You're listening to a special edition of the Todd Allball Show, our What Makes Wisconsin.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, Lacrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Big news in Wisconsin this month, as much of the controversial anti-union Act 10 law was struck down in a ruling by Dane County Circuit Court Judge Jacob Frost. Two takeaways on this. One, the ruling gets at the heart of what has always made this law so brazenly political,
by defining public safety employees differently from general public employees. That decision was pretty clearly made not based on across-the-board policy, but on which unions backed Scott Walker for governor in 2010. It would be fitting if that is what ultimately spells the end for this controversial law. Secondly, this case is headed to an appeal, which almost certainly will end up at the Wisconsin Supreme Court. While this case still might be decided by the court's current 4-3 liberal majority, it's a good reminder of just how important the upcoming race for state Supreme Court will be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed. Yes, itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Tom Hoball Show, our What Makes Wisconsin Great Tours year in review. Here now, more of the highlights of our great tours around Wisconsin from this past year.
We are joined by alums of the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire from the Lincoln Project, a senior advisor thereof. Trigby Olson is here on campus. And joining us via StreamYard, another alum, our colleague here at Civic Media, Pat Kretlow, host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 to 8. And our special guest, the chancellor of the campus here at Eau Claire, Chancellor Jim Schmidt. Chancellor, again, thanks. I know you're a busy person. Thank you for taking time out for us and our state. White audience.
It's a lot of fun. Glad to be here.
We appreciate it. Pat and Trigby, you guys are alums. I'm going to turn it over to you, Pat, first, and then Trigby. What would you want to ask the chancellor today?
I've known Jim for quite some time here, so I would just instead ask him what's new, what should people know about UW-Eau Claire if they're planning to come here, you know, the changes that have come through. That would be the one thing, but you know, the other thing I'd point out as well and ask Jim to comment on is that, again, like you said, Todd, the whole notion of higher education has come in for somewhat of a bashing or a comeuppance, depending on your point of view, of people saying, well, not everybody needs to go to college, which has always been true, but now is said in a way that's, you know, almost, you know, snooty toward colleges, which is weird. But I would go even further to those folks that say, oh, what good is a liberal arts education? As somebody who got that, as somebody who appreciates the humanities, who enjoys learning how to learn, I think there's still plenty of room for that, Jim. I'll bet you agree that along with all the, there's a lot of specialization out there, but there is more than enough room in this modern digital age for classical learning and thinking.
No, there's no question about it. I'll take that last point first. So in my first 50 days on the job, I started on July 1, I met with 50 CEOs in the Chippewa Valley and extended region. And I toured their plants, talked to them. I asked them what kept them from expanding the Chippewa Valley. This is, it's talent. We need more talent. Tell me what you're looking for. And pretty soon, they're not talking about the key pieces. Each one of them uses these exact words, a few a little different. I repeat it. Looking for critical thinking skills, the ability to write and speak articulately, the ability to work with other people and teams, interpersonal skills, and problem-solving skills. They all said those same things, and those are the hallmarks of a liberal education. And I will tell you, when I'd ask them what their degrees were in, almost all of them were in the liberal arts. And I said, well, what do you think we need? Well, we need business. So they start listing the professional degrees, which are also important. But sometimes people with those degrees think they're something special. And they are special. Yeah. But it's because in those programs, they learn how to evolve, how to be nimble, how to be agile, how to surround yourself with other people that are able to take care of the specific skills you need. My first trip to Epic, people may have heard of them down in Verona, yeah. You know, world's largest medical record company or device company. And I'm meeting with their leadership, and I figured they're going to start beating me up. They're going to say, I need more computer science students, information system students, and that's true. And we have expanded those. But they said, we're here to talk to you about English majors.
Wow.
And I said, really? And he said, yes, we can't seem to get English majors to apply. Tell me about that. Why is that important? He said, we're not a technology company.
Right.
We're a human interface company. Right. Our product only works as to how it works with doctors, nurses, and professionals, and their ability to help us understand and make that connection as opposed to the technology. It's what differentiates our product. And so they started a pilot project where they were using Eau Claire as their prime campus, where they're starting to talk to English majors, history majors, other humanities as early as their freshman year, say, do all of this because we want you to come work for a technology company. So that's an example.
And let me second that by telling you that being married to a physician, again, a Blue Gold, took all of her pre-med courses there at UW-Eau Claire and has worked as a physician with every type of electronic medical records out there, Epic included, that, again, it's the science is all great. But if you can't communicate those ideas, if you can't communicate instructions, if you can't have a clear medical record in this case, you're going nowhere. So I'm really glad to hear that story and glad that you've played a role in that, Jim.
I would just add, as an Eau Claire English major myself, in my career, one of the most important things that was ever said to me was by a lady named Nadine St. Louis, who was chair of the English department here. And I never got to say thank you to her about it. I tried to, but she had passed away. But she said, I had her for Shakespeare. And at the start of the Shakespeare class, I don't know why I take this with me, she said, what you're going to learn about from King Lear is how to identify who's the daughter that you can trust when you're going mad and who are the ones that are out to get you, even though it may not seem like that. And that will be one of the most important lessons you take through life. And in my career, having two pieces, working at senior levels in politics and working with people fighting for democracy around the world, that is some of the most sage advice any human being ever gave me.
I was going to add, since Kreitler brought up pre-med, so one of the things that's new about UW-Eau Claire is we've had a partnership with Mayo Clinic now for 7 years. We're only the second university in the world with this agreement. Arizona State was the first. I think they tell you we've actually gone further. Mayo Clinic's goal for UW-Eau Claire is that we become the nation's number one pre-med school.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Now,
say that again for those in the back,
please. Well, and I almost choke because I'm pretty audacious thinker, as you might understand. But their goal is we're the nation's number one pre-med school. And Mayo Clinic guards their brand stronger than any other organization I'm aware of. And I would argue that Mayo Clinic as a brand is maybe the most trusted, respected sign of quality of any brand worldwide. More people know Coca-Cola, but they trust Mayo Clinic.
Yeah.
So they're very judicious with how they make that association. And they're putting their money where their mouth is. Their time is where it is. We just launched on Monday evening the inaugural Mayo Medical Academy on our campus. And it's for interested students both in college, high school, and adults in the community who think they might want to go to med school. It was capped at 150. It filled up immediately. They said, if this isn't your thing, when you leave, let them know that you're not going to come back because we got people waiting to come in. And we did this collaborative with Mayo Clinic. Mayo Clinic is investing in our new science and health science building. We received a $342 million appropriation from the state of Wisconsin, working with the divided legislature, governor. Think about what we have to get through that.
Yeah.
It'll be the largest investment the state of Wisconsin has ever made in any building of any size or scape anywhere in the state. I'm not proud that it's expensive. What I'm proud is those legislators and the governor decided this is an investment that was important to make. And we're going to make it at UW-Eau Claire because we like what they're doing. We like where they're going with it. And Mayo Clinic will have 10,000 square feet, 2,000 on each floor. And they're not building a box within a box that you have to get through a card reader. They purposely have made it entirely porous. And so they're throwing almost everything they have because what they have found is doctors and nurses and medical providers are better when they're challenged by young learners. And that was one of Mayo's principles. And guess what? They find out that they're retained. They've got a better life balance because they're energized and challenged by young learners. And so if you ask Governor, I'd support Rick Helmers for governor. He's the local CEO. If we got almost 6,000 employees alone from Mayo Clinic and Eau Claire, if you ask him who's getting the better end of this partnership, he say he is, because we will get the world's greatest doctors who will come here and day one will start doing research with a Mayo doctor and Eau Claire faculty member. You can't get that anywhere else. You can go to Johns Hopkins. That's what graduate students are doing. He'll say they're getting the better end of the deal, and I'll tell you, we are getting the better end of the deal. That's a sign of a good partnership. like a good marriage, where each one thinks they're getting the better end of the deal and want
to
keep.
You're listening
more.
To a special edition of the Todd Allball Show, or What Makes Wisconsin Great.
Eagle 1490 AM. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Nearly 200 ballots from the presidential election were not processed in Wisconsin. That's according to city officials in Madison, who found 193 ballots still inside sealed courier bags in post-election cleanup. The absentee ballots weren't enough to change any election or referendum, according to election officials. According to a press release, the affected voters will receive an apology letter, and city officials said they will work to make sure the mistake in processing ballots won't happen again. Dense fog the last couple of days has led to difficult driving conditions in the Cooley region. With more on how to drive in foggy weather, here's Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Most cars are equipped with fog lights. This is the time to use them. Using your car's high beams can severely decrease your visibility because the stronger beams reflect off the water particles in the fog and make it appear denser. Also, use your windshield wipers. They'll help keep the glass clear even if it's not raining. Putting them on the lowest possible setting should work well. And turn on your defroster because fog occurs in high humidity. This will help dry off the inside of your car's windows. And drive slow. Keep a lookout for other vehicles. Never slam on your brakes, and keep a longer following distance. The time between you and other cars should be 9 to 12 seconds in dense fog. And if you feel disoriented, pull over to the side of the road and put your hazard lights on.
La Crosse is under a dense fog advisory through midday before giving way to more fog and rain throughout the rest of Friday. Nobody is hurt after a fire at a home in Toma yesterday morning. According to the Toma Fire Department, the fire happened at a home on Elm Street. A relative of the homeowner called in the fire, but when the fire department arrived, they found that the fire had put itself out. Nobody had been in the home for the past 2 days, so there is no timeline to when the fire happened. Fire officials said the fire started in a bedroom and the home had major smoke and soot damage. The fire is being investigated.
You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. From the Civic Media newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Kuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. In typecasting news, actor Jared Leto will play the role of Skeletor in the new live-action film Masters of the Universe. Leto is embracing the villain role as the skeleton who is a skull-faced archenemy of He-Man. The Oscar-winning actor and star of Dallas Buyers Club has agreed to join the project alongside director Travis Knight. Cast members already in place include Alison Brie and Idris Elba. Leto embraces playing outlandish characters. MGM Amazon is the studio behind the film, which opens June 5th, 2026. There are those who don't think COVID was real. 1923 actress Danielle Vasanova is not one of them. Vasanova starred in 1923, the Yellowstone prequel, and she was one of the first people to suffer from COVID-19 long before it became widespread. The actress said she was diagnosed with strep throat, but shortly after, her organs shut down, and she died for 3 minutes. Vasanova will star opposite Michelle Pfeiffer in a new Yellowstone spinoff called Madison. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The warmer temperatures are bringing areas of dense fog and rain this afternoon. Becoming more widespread and a bit heavier overnight, it does wind down by early tomorrow morning. With around 3/4 of an inch of rain expected, the sunshine does try to peek out tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 44 degrees.
The Dom Salvia Show.
How about this one? Harvey K., a Delano Democrat.
The problem with that is that that was his mother's family name. You might not realize that he had a father, too.
Come on, man.
Subscribe to my arguments and you can call a Dom Democrat.
All right, I'll take a Dom Democrat. But Franklin Delano Roosevelt, a big favorite here on this show.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Happy holidays, all. I am on vacation, but you're going to have Jimmy Costa behind the mic. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Any people are going to do it? Welcome back to a special edition of the Town Hall Ball Show, our What Makes Wisconsin Great Tours year in review. Here now, more of the highlights of our great tours around Wisconsin from this past year. Everybody wants to love, and they want to love. Everybody wants to Welcome back. Live on location at the Davies Center on the beautiful University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire campus. This is the Town Hall Ball Show on Civic Media. It is Wednesday, April 3rd. Glad to be joined here by the Chancellor, the CEO, the head guy, the big boss, the Chancellor here, Jim Schmidt. Chancellor Schmidt, thank you so much. Your hospitality is amazing. We're here. The students, it's vibrant. The energy you get here, the positivity. And if anybody thinks that the world is going to hell in the handbasket, hang out with university kids, and you're hopeful.
Hey, I speak to, you know, service clubs all the time, and I tell them, if you're worried about the future of this country, and many people are, I say, come to Davies Center, go up to a table like I did when I secret shopped the place, decided if I was going to apply, went up to a table full of students, and I said, can I join you? And I was dressed in a suit. They said, sure. I said, why did you pick Eau Claire, and what do you hope to do when you're done? And I just sat back, and I'm like, oh, my God. This place is amazing. Yeah. And I said, I must have sat down with the students, said it by mistake. And I went up to another table, did the same thing, heard the same answer. And that's when I decided that this is the kind of place I wanted to be. And, you know, for the right kind of person, the energy, the vitality, the creativity that you get on a university campus, there's no substitute. So even with all of the things that we say how hard it is to run a university these days, it's the students, faculty, and staff that, you know, they electrify me. And I tell the people, you will leave here knowing that the country will be in good hands. People are afraid of this generation. I say embrace this generation. They've got great values. They're thinking about other people, and they want to know how they can make a difference.
Hey, Jim,
so,
can I
ask a question here?
Okay.
Yeah. I was going to say real quick, we were joined by Trevi Olson, a senior advisor of Lincoln Project here on location. He is a grad and an alum of Eau Claire, and by StreamYard up the road here at Lake Wissota, Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio every morning 6 to 8, also an alum of UW-Eau Claire. Pat first, then Trevi.
I was just going to say, this has all been great, the cheerleading for the school. But we know what people, certain people out there, think not just of colleges and universities overall, but the people who vote on them. And we have heard people deep into, you know, Republican politics with Wisconsin roots talking about how you need to continually make it harder for people on campus to vote, for people associated with colleges and universities to vote. I want to know, I know you hear that. What's your reaction when you hear that? And what do you and what do student leaders at UW-Eau Claire do to try to prevent any attempt at forced apathy when it comes to taking part in the right to vote?
So UW-Eau Claire, as I said, 99% placement rate. We're more than preparing you for your first job. We're about preparing you for your life. You know, multiple jobs to be agile, but embroiled into our mission is helping people to be good civic leaders, members of their community. Many of our graduates will be coaching the softball teams, will be on church boards, will be the ones running for city council, and we need people engaged in voting is the first step. It's the foundation of being involved in civic society. I did this as a college student. That was something I actually started a recall petition against a city council member in my college town because a proposal to move the polling place to campus died for lack of a second. So I put my efforts where my mouth is. I'm proud that we have a polling place on campus. Students should be able to vote. It's up to them whether they vote where they feel like they belong, whether it's their college town or their hometown. That's been the practice that's always happened, and I believe that we need to make sure students understand the rules, understand what it takes to vote, so they're not disenfranchised when they go to the polls and find out they're not able to. So for us, it's about education. It's up to the students, and they decide. I would add that of all that placement record, 2 years, 32% of our graduates, all of our graduates, remained in Eau Claire. This past year, it dropped to 29%. The percentage of that class that came from Eau Claire High Schools was 4%. Tell me anything that's more important than the talent that we are able to bring to this community, to this region, the single biggest thing affecting our economy, and I heard this when I moved here, is the ability to get the right talent to move it forward. States like us in the Midwest need that young energy. Eau Claire is a community, the average age continues to drop with every census. We're still building elementary schools. Things are happening here, and other people can say it, but I know the university is a big part of it.
Okay, so beyond the radio audience that we have that's all across the state of Wisconsin, just checked on Twitter, we have 16,000 people watching on Twitter right now. So, and I'll tell you, yesterday when it was just Todd and I, it was only 7.1. So I think we know who's the draw here.
Right.
But, you know, so most of those people are outside
quite
the state. Yeah, quite low. It's quite low. So most of those people are outside of the state of Wisconsin, right? Make the pitch for people who are in other places around the country why they should come to Eau Claire, because I think a lot of them think, you know what, like, that looks nice until December rolls around and walking across that bridge would be pretty cold for me from coming from Florida or California.
Well, as I can repeat a story I heard from Regent Walks, former Regent Rocks, on December 26th, he and his wife were in Mexico City for a little Christmas break, and he said, "We're freezing to death. It's 43 degrees here." And I said, "Well, Dana, it's 58 in Eau Claire." And he says, "I know, that really ticks me off." So you never know what you're going to expect about the weather in the upper Midwest is what I'll say. But what I can say is people are making Eau Claire a destination. There's a reason why that talent is staying here. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel did a front page banner Sunday edition headline about five, 6 years ago around the Eau Claire Music Festival, and they interviewed people from all over the country who moved to Eau Claire, relocated from Austin, Texas, Chicago, Brooklyn, and Portland. And they said, "Why, as artists, are you coming here for the art scene, the music scene?" And this is what's important. Said, "Those are all amazing communities. Many people think that's where everybody in the arts is moving to. But they said that culture and that industry is already fully developed. It's very expensive to get started in any of these areas and communities like that. And here's what I want to point out. Do you want to be at a place that's become, or do you want to be a part of something that's becoming? And young people can write the script. They can create the Eau Claire in this region that they want because it's acceptable, it's accessible, and people support it. And that's what's cool about coming to a place like Eau Claire, either to go to college, to work at the university, or be a part of this amazing community."
Talk to Trigvy's point, Chancellor. Talking to Chancellor Jim Schmidt here at the University of Wisconsin Eau Claire, joined by Trigvy Olson from the Lincoln Project and Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio. Chancellor, to Trigvy's point, I think a lot of people around the country, not just Wisconsin, are looking at Wisconsin because this election is going to have big implications in Wisconsin, and we believe is going to be pivotal to who is the next president of the United States. For people who are not from Wisconsin, what do they need to know about folks who are going to be making this decision, particularly young people, particularly the value of higher education, public education in this state?
You know, there's a lot in that statement. And I just want to say I grew up in a small rural town in southeastern Minnesota, a town of 1,000. And this state is like a lot of other states. We've become more divided, and that's a problem. I think we need to find people who can bring us together. I mentioned earlier Governor Thompson was president of the UW system. I think that's something who invites everyone to the table to be a part of the solution. And I hope wherever we go, we can continue to kind of spread that kind of message. College students care, and, you know, you're right. There's probably more liberal people on any university campus, including this one, than there are real conservative people. But let me tell you, young people are smart. Mm. And we have a lot of conservatives on this campus, people of deep faith. Pick whatever you want to talk about it, and they are welcomed on this campus. Mm. I had an alum who was a Trump supporter, and he said, "I'll bet I can't walk with my Make America Great Ahead at the homecoming event. I can't go." And I said, "I'll bet you can." Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean people are going to agree with it, but you will be treated with respect, mm-hmm. and you will have the opportunity to share your point of view. That's what universities are about. They're not about indoctrination.
Right.
And people who say they are, they're wrong. Doesn't mean there aren't people with strong opinions, but we do a disservice if we don't talk about real issues and have real differences. And I will say that as we've passed legislation through a faculty senate that people think are just bastions of liberalism, when they pass their statements around equity, diversity, inclusion, in their definition, for diversity included political thought.
Exactly.
We need that at a university. And if we're truly what people say we are, I can understand why we don't get their support. But come here and experience it on this campus. Yes, you'll have liberals talking. Yes, you'll have conservatives. And you got a lot of pragmatic people in the middle that just want to make the place better.
You know, for me, it goes back to, Chancellor, that bronze plaque on Bascom Hill, on Bascom Hall, on Bascom Hill at Madison.
That's not a hill. We got a hill, by the way.
Yeah. That is can actually, confirm.
They have a hill here, having walked up and down.
We have the strongest calves in the UW system.
Amen. I won't debate that. But it goes back to that, to paraphrase, you know, the winnowing and the constant winnowing and sifting of ideas, which by the truth alone can be found. You have to be challenged. And I think that our public universities do that better than anything. Doesn't mean it's going to change you. It's going to enhance you and make you a better human, a better American.
But you know what? I would just add something, which I think Chancellor Jim will like and Pat will appreciate. You know, one of the people who was also a mentor to me in terms of professors was Mort Cypress. Mort Cypress was chair of the 3rd District Democratic Party. I was literally vice chair of the College Republicans in the state of Wisconsin. And Mort Cypress really took me under his wing and taught me immense lessons that were valuable going forward, even though we didn't agree on a lot of things. And whenever I would come back to campus when I was working for the governor, I would always stop to see Mort because there was a mutual respect.
Yeah.
And I think that tradition here at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire, and it may be true of other, I don't have anything else to compare it to, but it has always been something that's at the heart of this institution. And it was something that, you know, back in the day when Larry Schnack was the chancellor, he preached. And it's really good as an alum to hear you preaching that today, because it's who this state is and who this university is.
Pat? I can confirm that mentorship, value there from Henry Lippold, the late Henry Lippold, longtime legendary journalism instructor, who again, taught you to have a well-rounded view of the earth and of humanity, not just, you know, the who, what, where, when, why, and taught you how the right words matter. And you can't get the right words if you aren't staying up to date on the rest of the world beyond the blinders of your own little profession.
Chancellor?
No, I think that you'll find that. In fact, you'll find most of our faculty, certainly in political science department, students have no idea what their political leanings are.
Yeah.
You know, I remember I had a political science class and I had a faculty member step forward and said, this week, my goal is to convince you that we should have never left the British crown, that the American system is not what's right. And then a few weeks later, he says, now my goal is to make you all socialists. This was one of the most conservative people on my previous campus. But you knew how to teach by putting those things out there and forcing those things. Take a look at the issues, and then you make the decision for yourself. It's not what to think, it's how to think. The ability to think critically, mm-hmm. not just accept things that are stated or put on the web.
Yeah. Pat, we're getting close to the end of the segment here. Any last thoughts for you, Pat Kreitler?
Well, I mean, other than, again, I could not recommend high enough that folks interested in pursuing either, you know, where they're going to go to college or university or to, you know, to work, keep in mind this area's commitment to education. When, you know, we moved away for a time for Sherry to go to medical school, and then we could go any place coming back. But it was the commitment to education that we saw through school referendums and that we saw through this university community that convinced us that this was going to be our home. This is where we were going to put down roots. And you see that today in everything that that the chancellor said about getting young people, getting new people to move into this area. Despite all of the political divisions and, you know, somewhat hateful rhetoric out there on this issue or that issue, if you look at a community as a whole, you can see that what the chancellor and his team are doing here continues to explain why Eau Claire and the Chippewa Valley is attracting people the way it is.
Chancellor, about a minute left, a minute and a half before the break. I'm going to give you the last word on Eau Claire.
Yeah, on the same thought, I want to say I'm really proud of the work of the Menard Center on our campus, which has funding from the Koch Foundation, working on First Amendment free speech issues. We have faculty members from all walks of life really working on those issues. We tend to be the leader in the Midwest and in our system around civil dialogue and exchange. And our faculty are doing the hands-on research with our students and making sure students understand those issues. All points of view, not only welcomed on this campus, I'm specifically inviting you. come anytime. I'd love to show you around, and you get a chance to share your ideas with us.
Well, it's been a pleasure. We're going to continue on here at Hour 2 here at the Davies Center at UofL Claire. Again, thank you for the enormous hospitality. Trivia and I are going around the state figuring out what makes Wisconsin great. It's campuses like UW-Eau Claire,
yeah,
and quite frankly,
further.
Chancellor, it's people like you.
Well,
I mean, cheerleaders 100%. For what's going right in this state, for spreading good news, for making us proud to be Wisconsinites. Thank you.
You're very kind. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, absolutely. Chancellor Jim Schmidt of UW-Eau Claire, we're going to continue on with Trigvy Olson, a Blue Gold alum, and much more. Mike Johnson, Superintendent of Public Schools, Eau Claire, will join us as well.
You're listening to a special edition of the Todd Allball Show, our What Makes Wisconsin Great Tour, Year in Review. More.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
There was a time when barbecue was perfect. A strong, reliable flavor that could be counted on. But then big manufacturers decided that barbecue needed to be zesty or spicy or sweeter or whatever. If you miss the good old days of great tasting barbecue, we'd like to introduce you to Grandpa's Barbecue. Made in small batches from Grandpa's original recipe. Buy yours online today at grandpasbarbecueshop.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A 2023 decision in an Arkansas redistricting case found individual voters did not have a private right of action to challenge the maps. The state of Louisiana tried the same tactic in its chaotic gerrymandering case, but was refused on June 24th. Be looking for another challenge in 2025. Defying precedent, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals held in a 2023 Arkansas racial gerrymandering case that individual voters do not have a private right of action under the VRA Section 2. It said only the U.S. Justice Department could bring such cases, despite individuals having filed 90% of previous challenges. Calling it radical, scholars expected it to be quickly overturned, but this January, the full Eighth Circuit refused to rehear the case. Seeing an opening, Louisiana asked the full Fifth Circuit to rehear its gerrymandering case on the same grounds, with 13 other Republican attorneys general urging a no private right of action decision. In a close vote Monday, the Fifth Circuit refused that rehearing. For now, the Eighth Circuit decision still only affects Arkansas, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota. But it's clear that private right of action is the new battleground and will almost certainly reach the U.S. Supreme Court. We've linked to more on the private right of action at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to a special edition of the Todd Allball Show, our What Makes Wisconsin Great Tours Year in Review. Here now, more of the highlights of our great tours around Wisconsin from this past year.
Person of that pack, and he's still around, and the fact that Schwabe got him, that's a huge get. So congrats to Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. Originates from this studio every weeknight. That's fantastic.
You want to, so you know the comedy club that's right underneath on State Street where
yeah.
Civic Media is, you know, so it used to be a little further up State Street. I was in it when I was working down there in the early 90s, and they said, we have a special guest. We're replacing the main comic with somebody who wanted to come here and do some practice. It was Chris Farley.
Wow.
And the funniest part of the whole thing is he's standing up there on stage, and all of a sudden he's like, Mrs. Johnson? And a teacher who had failed him was in the audience.
Oh, my gosh.
And he brought her up on stage, and he was kind of giving her a bit of a bad time, and she just started giving it right back to him. And he didn't know what to say. She's like, Christopher, I always knew you'd be a success. You weren't stupid. But it was just a crazy, everybody in the audience was just like, okay, this is the craziest night ever.
Anyway. Chris Farley, one of the things that also makes Wisconsin great.
Oh,
right?
100%.
All right. What else makes Wisconsin great? Board Game of the Week. Time once again for Board Game of the Week with Aaron Zommers.
Once again, for the Board Game of the Week, the segment where you hear Aaron's Board Game of the Week. Pretty self-explanatory. The board game for this week, though, is a very special one. It's another part of what makes Wisconsin great.
one of the best, one of the most famous, one of the most influential games ever created by human hands, and originates from here in Wisconsin, in Lake Geneva, Dungeons and Dragons. I know we've talked about it
that
a little bit.
That started here?
No way.
Yeah, Gary Gygax and Dave Arneson in Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, made Dungeons & Dragons. And in 1974, they started printing it and selling it to people because they were like, man, this is insane. This is so good. They took their love of miniature war games where you, you know, simulate battles historically and their desire to create stories together and just hang out in a more fantasy setting and put it together. And what they created is synonymous with role-playing games at this point. Like they, its legacy speaks for itself. And if anybody thinks Dungeons & Dragons is too nerdy for them and hasn't tried it, I urge you to reconsider because, I mean, as we've seen, it's had a huge cultural resurgence.
Oh, yeah.
Because of that show.
Stranger Things.
My kids are both part of the Dungeons & Dragons club. Really? They love it.
Wow. I've played it for years. Basically, I was in elementary school, and when I'd hang out with my friends, we'd basically do the same thing and not know it, like without dice, where we'd just be like telling stories together and whatever. And then we found out, man, we could do this and roll cool shaped dice and stuff. Yeah. And you can find the rules for free online for the just basic game and just give it a shot. It's so much fun.
That's really and great. There you got it. There
I
you
have
go.
Here
there you
go. From one of my friend's dads, an old player's handbook for Advanced Dungeons and Dragons. This is from 1980. This is not the original 1974 printing. Those are pretty hard to find at this point. But still, the D&D Player's Handbook by Gary Gygax, TSR Games, Lake Geneva, Wisconsin. So this this is one of the first like books that really made the game popular. And it also, there's a game, probably the biggest board game convention in the world, Gen Con, originally started in Lake Geneva and by Gary Gygax, one of the two main people on D&D. And he, it really blew up because of Dungeons & Dragons. Originally, Gen Con was for those miniature war games I talked about earlier, but now Gen Con's too big to be in Lake Geneva and it's in Indianapolis. But it's still part of what makes Wisconsin great because of the history.
There you go. Hitherto unknown facts from Aaron Zomers. How much does it cost? You want to get little Dungeons and Dragons?
Potentially free. You could just do the rules online. You can use an online dice rolling app. But if you want to have a book, you're probably going to spend a book and some dice. You're probably going to spend around $50. But it gives you endless fun and it's totally worth it.
Dungeons and Dragons, your board game of the week. Nicely done, Mr. Zomers. I to quote Johnny Carson, I did not know that. So there you go. Dungeons and Dragons right here in Wisconsin. Before we wrap things up, a reminder that Maggie Dawn is next across the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to thank Civic Media for allowing us this opportunity to travel all over the state this week. It has been absolutely fantastic. We appreciate everyone, Sage and Catherine and Luke, and especially Mr. Aaron Zomers back at the studio. Shout out to our friend Chris Andrews, who has been a segment producer all week. She has been fantastic. Thank you to our host, Culver's in Richland Center, also the Radisson in downtown La Crosse, University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire in Eau Claire, University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point in Stevens Point, and our great staff and great folks here at WGBW in downtown Green Bay, Wisconsin. Shout out to the Hamptons, Hampton Inn as well. They have been fantastic all this week. And a special shout out and thanks to my co-host for the week, the great Trigvy Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Trigvy, thank you for doing this. We're a little tired, but in my opinion, we're a little bit better off because we've gone out there, and I wish more elected officials would. If you take time to get out of your own little silo and just listen to folks, you find out that Wisconsin is pretty darn great already.
It's great to be from Wisconsin, Todd.
It is.
It is. It's just such a fantastic place. And honestly, there's so much to cheerlead about Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And there are real problems that need to be solved. We need to elect people who want to do that, not just ones who are looking at what office can come next on the ladder. Not ones who have wanted to be because maybe dad or mom told them, hey, you can be.
Yeah.
And that's going to wrap up our What Makes Wisconsin Great Year in Review. Thank you so much for being with us today. Also, a huge thanks to Trigvi Olson and Jane Matnair for going around the state with me this year, and to Mr. Zommers for doing all the hard work back here at the station to keep us on the air, and of course, all of you for listening. We'll be back on Monday with a brand new show. Mr. Zommers and I live from the World Headquarters in Madison. Have a great weekend. Until then, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. We'll see you then. And your day will come. Keep banging on, banging on your drum, and they will hear you. This is the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Dom Selvia. Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, the Law Review, will join me to discuss if the president-elect should be disqualified under the 14th Amendment's Insurrection Clause. Tune in. The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app. ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Investigators are exploring whether a Russian missile struck an Azerbaijan Airlines plane, killing 38, injuring 29 in Kazakhstan. U.S. and Azeri sources suggest the crash may involve a Russian anti-aircraft system. As undocumented immigrant Sebastian Zepeda faces possible murder and arson charges, Brooklyn District Attorney Eric Gonzalez working to answer the question, who was the woman who was set on fire on a New York subway train?
We know that there's a family just because someone appears to have been living, you know, in the situation of homelessness does not mean that there's not going to be family devastated by, you know, the tragic way she lost her life.
2024 saw an uptick in homelessness in the U.S., up 18% from last year, according to the Department of Housing and Urban Development. A last-minute ticket-buying frenzy now pushing tonight's estimated Mega Millions jackpot to $1.22 billion. This is ABC News.